it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty, to this ignominious day, May 20th, the 142nd anniversary of the birth of Harry J. Anslinger. That's right, it's Anslinger's birthday. And in recognition of Harry J. Anslinger's birthday, the DCMJ, the DC Marijuana People, the Cannabis Coalition out there, are protesting in front of the White House. They're there with the Weed for Warriors Project, with POW 420, with the Healing Church out of Rhode Island. They're all there right now in front of the White House, at least as close as they can get, because earlier today there was a shooting in front of the White House, or not in front, but the other side, I guess, the back of the White House. But there was a shooting. And so Secret Service, you know, shut the place down. They closed off Pennsylvania Avenue. They roped off Lafayette Park. They had snipers on the roof of the White House. They had guys with fully automatic weapons roaming around. It was a pretty tense situation. Chris Goldstein, N.A. Poe were both down there. Adam Eidinger, Dana Beal. We got a lot of audio with those folks down there at the event. And in the second half hour here, I'm going to play some more of that because Adam Eidinger was kind enough to hand me a microphone. You know what happens when I get a microphone in front of a crowd. So we'll play that speech for you. Following that speech, I was interviewed by a reporter from Russia Today, the RT network. I told her all about Barack Obama's chum habits back when he was a teenager. So we'll get to all of that. That's all coming up in the second half hour. But staying on the line with me so kindly, we have got a trio of three of the best experts on California marijuana reform. Lauren Vasquez is on the line. She's the Fired Up Lawyer at Fired Up Lawyer on Twitter. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hello, Russ.
Glad to have you back. We've got Chris Conrad as well, certified court expert on cannabis and author of far too many books for me to recall right now. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. That's just mentioned The Newbie's Guide to Cannabis and the Industry, my new book with Jeremy Dawn. It just came out about a month ago.
That's right, The Newbie's Guide. I wanted to mention that, and I couldn't remember what the title was. Okay, The Newbie's Guide. Check that out. And then, of course, Mickey Norris, longtime freedom fighter and also author of numerous books. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for having us on your show.
Oh, so glad to have you here, because there's a lot of misconceptions about the Adult Use of Marijuana Act and, you know, the urgency of passing it. And one of the things I've run into online, well, for one, there seems to be this weird hatred of billionaires who want to give us money to legalize. I just don't understand. You know, somebody wants to give me $1 million to legalize Idaho, I'll take it and run, I'll tell you. So Sean Parker donated $1 million, and there's this kind of conspiracy thinking that it's somehow a way of sewing up the marijuana market, that it's going to be monopolized, it's all going to be these big players, it's going to kick the little guy out of the business. Chris, give us a rundown on what you think of those kind of thoughts and how the business might turn out after ALMA passes.
I think that people who propagate that notion actually tend to be people who are part of the existing medical marijuana monopoly, and that they're afraid of the competition. Because under the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, it creates a multi-tiered licensing system that will actually allow people more easily to enter the system than they have been up to date. And so it's going to create a lot of competition from some of those people who speak negatively of it right now. But let's just look at one thing in particular, the creation of the micro business license. This is a license that will allow a person to, with one license, they will be able to be producers, processors, distributors, wholesalers, retailers, and allow on-site consumption at their location. Under the medical marijuana laws, that would be a whole group of different businesses, each owning their own piece of it. And so then that ensures that the people who are already in there will be able to control the system as it exists now. The Adult Use of Marijuana Act is going to add additional restrictions against the monopolistic tendencies of the market. It gives a benefit to people who are already in the market that they are start off with an advantage, and it keeps out-of-state people from getting licenses for maybe 2 or 3 years, and then big licenses are not going to be issued for 5 years. So this is really designed, is that, you know, you can't save the way the economy is changing the marijuana marketplace. That, you know, we can't stop those from going forward. But what this is doing is giving people at least a 5-year buffer to get established for people who are already in the market or who are interested, Californians who are interested. And the other thing that's really important is that it makes it so that having a prior marijuana offense is not going to stop you from getting a license. So it's really very, very good for these people. For people who are interested in getting into the marijuana business, it's not as good for people who have an entrenched monopoly in some locality and they want to hold on to that.
Well put. Lauren, you're the lawyer on the team, and as someone who has to deal with folks that run against these criminal prohibitions, I wanted to run this by you because there's some sentiment out there where people say, you know, this isn't good enough. You know, we've got Prop 215. Prop 215 takes care of us. We're fine. We got places to shop. The cops aren't bothering us. Why rush into 2016 with this Adult Use of Marijuana Act? It's only announced. It's only 6 plants. Why not wait till 2018 and get something better?
Well, aside from political strategy issues with running an off-year election initiative, there's people who are being targeted who can't afford to wait. I get a lot of calls every week from young people, mostly young men of color, Hispanic males in their early 20s, who get stopped and pulled over and harassed by the police and arrested, quite frankly, for no good reason, sometimes for almost outright legal behavior that we would think of as a patient, for having 5 plants at home, for having an ounce of pot on your person. That as patients, we think, of course, that's allowed. But when you're the one that gets targeted and the police don't care because it's still their discretion to stop you, to search you, to cite you, to arrest you if they want, those people can't afford to wait. And so we got to keep those people from getting harassed, from getting criminal convictions. And so many young people don't know their rights. So even with the protections that they do have, they're not able to exercise them fully. And so by taking cannabis out of the criminal realm, and it's just a product, you're 21 and over, you're allowed to have it. And that's just going to eliminate so much of the negative consequences that people are seeing from these criminal prohibitions.
And it's completely unrealistic, Russ, in that, say, in 1990, Jack Scherer and I and some other people wrote the California Hemp Initiative. It's been waiting for 26 years for that millionaire to come in and give them the money. Last year we had something like 17 different initiatives filed, and none of them raised enough money. It wasn't until 1996 that we got medical marijuana on the ballot, and then it wasn't until 2010, 14 years later, that Richard Lee put the money in for the Proposition 19. And now here we are 6 years later, this guy's putting the money, this organizations are putting together the money, and now people say, well, we shouldn't take their money, we should wait for something better. And some of us have been waiting for 30 years, and some people have been waiting for 50 or 60 years, and this it's not a magic. It takes money to win an election. So the idea that magic money is going to show up has never worked for us up to this moment.
Mickey Norris, your book on shattered lives and the way that the drug war impacted families and victims of this drug war was one of the first books I read. It had a huge impact on my interpretation of what's going on. I want to find out with Adult Use of Marijuana Act what that does for the POWs. What does it do for the people who are still incarcerated, still on probation, still dealing with the legal ramifications of a pot bust?
Well, for those facing penalties that are being downgraded, they'll be subjected to those downgraded penalties. So some people might just get out of jail right away. We're excited that people will be able to, there's going to be fewer arrests and prosecutions as a result. We're hearing from attorneys now that said, oh, well, next year, maybe I think we need to start thinking about a different profession because the clients are not going to be going to court. People not going to be going to court so much for misdemeanors, things that have been downgraded and these penalties. The people who are currently in jail, there are some retroactive relief, and they're going to get out if it's reduced. And people will be able to get their records expunged as well, or reduced or expunged, I should say, to reflect the new penalty structures. And that's one of the best things about ALMA, is how many offenses have been downgraded in terms of their penalties. Some felonies are becoming legal. Some felonies are going to misdemeanors or misdemeanors to infractions to legal. So there's going to be a lot fewer people getting arrested in the first place. We just saw an article in the paper yesterday that was talking about how the opposition by the police and prison lobby are starting to organize because they're afraid that they're not going to get the grants and the money from the asset forfeiture that they're currently getting, that the prisons are going to start closing, that they're going to not have enough prisoners. So they're trying to protect their jobs as the people who are against ALMA. So we think that it's going to have a significant impact on how many people are getting arrested, how many people are getting prosecuted, how many people are getting incarcerated. And that to me is one of my main reasons for supporting ALMA, that we're sick and tired of seeing all these people getting arrested. In fact, there's still, under Prop 215 and even people with medical defenses, there's still a good 11,000 felony arrests every year in California. That's going to come way down. We've seen that come way down in the other states that have legalized it. It's going to happen here, too.
Lauren Vasquez, when I first met you, you were working with local normal chapters. You'd done a lot of work with SSDP, and you may be aware of the fact that sometimes 18, 19, and 20-year-olds like to smoke pot. What does ALMA do for people who are of voting age but not yet of weed age?
That's a good question. You know, it doesn't make changes for them on some of these penalties. They stay the same. They're adults, 18 to 20-year-olds. It's a transition period. We have to address the reality that alcohol is 21 and over, and so marijuana is also expected to be 21 and over.
In California, tobacco smoking is 21 and over in California now too, right?
They have made some headway that direction in some of the cities, and they're looking at doing that, I believe, at the state level as well. So, yeah, they did that. So that's kind of the expectation, is the age is 21. And under 18, we've removed the threat of jail. It's community service and drug education. There's no going to jail for minors at all. So you get that chance to come out with a clean record. But once you're 18, you got to take that responsibility. And so the penalties are going to remain the same for those folks.
Actually, what she says remain the same, though, what she means is that they get the benefit of all the downgrades that people over 21 would get as well. And that the things that are illegal for people who are over 21 are going to be infractions for them. So when she says stay the same, she doesn't mean the same as they are now. She means the same as they are for adults.
So for current, for example, currently for people 18 to 20 who are growing up to six plants, that's a felony with 16 months or 2 to 3 years in jail, it will become a $100 ticket infraction. So they're going to get some of that, some great benefit from that downgrading of the penalties. Hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah, now look, looking back to our last campaign in California in 2010, when you look at that county-by-county map of who was against it, we see the Emerald Triangle, the Trinity, Mendocino, and Humboldt counties, long, legendary, old-school, multi-generational growers up there, were against Prop 19. What sort of outreach is the campaign doing to try to convince the grow regions of California that didn't support Prop 19 to support ALMA?
Well, one of the things that's quite different, though, is that during the Prop 19 campaign, once it made the ballot, the federal government came in and threatened to arrest everyone. They did flyovers all over the state, and the federal government made a major show of force up in that area, and a lot of people felt like if Prop 19 passed, the feds said they were basically going to invade Northern California. Now, right now, we've already had four of the states legalized, so that same kind of threat doesn't exist anymore. But the other thing is that we're finding actually quite a lot of support up there for people who are interested in becoming above board. You know, there's people who say, like, they're happy with, you know, being outlaws, and they're happy being outlaws. But we talked to a lot of people who they're interested in that micro business license. They want to start a small grow. They would like to have a job as a bud tender. They want to open a bud and breakfast where people can smoke on site. So a lot of people see this as really a step forward. And Mendocino and Humboldt County are two examples of counties that are already planning the next step after ALMA passes.
Wow, let's look bigger picture, you know, national picture here. Looking at California's potential marijuana market, what I've read is that the current marijuana market, the legal states so far, is a $1 billion market. They say California is a $12 billion market. So do you think that, I mean, speak to the national implications of the passage or the rejection of this act?
Well, if it passes, this is going to be a big boost, a big moment of empowerment for the movement in across the United States and in other countries. I know people who are waiting for California to pass this, so they say, if California passes it, we're next. We're gonna do it. If California doesn't pass it, it's going to be a big stall and possibly a setback to the movement. That the message that, well, maybe we're not ready for legalization yet. Maybe it's too dangerous. Marijuana is too dangerous. We shouldn't allow adults to be using it. And we need a, you know, whatever. It's such a regulated initiative that they can't use that excuse. So if it's losing, it's going to be a big step back. If it wins, California is the biggest state in the United States. It's going to send a big message for it around the world. And I think it's going to empower other countries like Canada and Mexico first, and then possibly other countries as well to move forward. If the United States, with such a big chunk of our population here in California, saying yes to legalization, then yeah, it's going to impel the United States also to make some more changes on the national level, especially since the federal government will respect this vote because it's written in compliance with the Cole memo, and so that should be a good reason to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I think, Russ, is that it kind of capitalizes on the Bernie Sanders energy that's getting young people to the polls. Marijuana legalization will hopefully get young people to the polls, too. If they succeed, I don't know whether they're going to succeed with Bernie Sanders or not, but if we can succeed and have a younger generation of people see that going to the polls and voting actually makes a huge difference, that's going to encourage young people to become invested as voters. And one of our big problems today is that the art of voting is dying off as the older generations go by. So this is the very kind of thing that we think is going to be essential towards getting young people back to voting and seeing the power of what they do when they walk into that voting booth.
And Lauren, your thoughts?
Well, I think we're just talking about a paradigm shift. And, you know, when we take marijuana out of the criminal prohibitions, it changes the way we think about ourselves and changes the way that we answer the question, you know, do you smoke cannabis? And right now in California, if you answer yes, you're a criminal, even if you have a medical exception. And we can change it so that if you answer yes to that question, there's nothing to be ashamed of, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, your parents and your family can't.
I smelled some marijuana smoke in Vietnam.
Sorry to have to cut you off, but we just heard our 20 after whistle that tells us we have to get to our union-mandated safety briefing. If you can hold on just a little longer, we'll come back to the next segment and wind it all up. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back after this safety briefing.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestle trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I said, on this program, what do they want? My grandchildren and the monster. Did I scare you?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a Resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got a trio of great guests in California marijuana law reform. Lauren Vasquez, Mickey Norris, and Chris Conrad are on the line. Welcome back, you guys. Thanks for holding for us. All right, so let's get to a discussion of this act, because a lot of people out there are still a little nervous about it, still a little worried about it. We've got 10 more minutes here that we can talk about this act. What are some of the scares that I haven't brought up yet that you've heard, and how can we debunk them?
The scares that you haven't debunked, but I would say that there's kind of one attorney who is putting out a lot of bad information, and she is the source of almost every rumor that we've heard. This is not a financial scam by anybody to take over the marijuana market. It's an opening up of the market. There are no new felonies in this. In fact, The sample that has been cited is actually in the current law. That's the way that they make that claim. There is people are not going to get arrested when it's legal. For some reason, people are afraid that that's happening. It does not threaten medical marijuana at all. In fact, it reinforces it. It protects it five times and expands medical marijuana four times here in California. It does the opposite of what those people say. I'm not sure what other major there are out there. There's so many. Oh, it's not Monsanto. It's not Sean Parker is not planning on getting all the money out of this whole thing. There's not a board that can take all the money. It's very carefully regulated. The tax distribution is a claim that that they can't cap the taxes, which is not true. There's a claim that the board can spend the money any way it wants. That is not true. It has to be spent on specific things like environmental protection, helping our communities that have been harmed by the drug war, scientific research. So those kind of things. Nikki, you
have... Yeah, and kids will not be going to jail for pot. That's one thing we've heard as well, which is ridiculous. They will just get, for their youthful indiscretions, they will get drug counseling or education and community service at a graduating scale if they keep reoffending. But they're also going to be looking into ways of keeping kids in schools instead of expelling them. And I think that's a really important thing to not derail kids from their futures, which the current drug war is doing. And they won't come out with a criminal record. So those are some of the myths that we've heard.
Yeah, for the past couple of weeks or so.
I'll bet.
Basically.
And personally, on a personal note, we're not getting paid to say anything that we're saying. These are our longtime personal, opinions. And from our personal experience and what we've learned from the political process of our 27 years in this movement, we feel like this is the time is right to make this change, to support this initiative and get it legalized in 2016.
Mm. Yeah, in fact, I guess that's one thing that if I can go to the personal thing too. Mickey and I have gotten a grant from Drug Policy Action because they agree with what we believe about this. And so we are... Our agreement with them is that we will speak the truth and we will give our opinion as we hold them. And it, because of this relationship we have with them is because they're a really great organization. DPA has been involved in Prop 215. It's been involved in all these reforms all over the country. And so there's people who are like naysaying about how bad these groups are, MPP. I think it speaks something highly for the campaign itself that they have done outreach to us. They asked for input about what we thought should be changed, and they did not give us all the changes that we sought, but they did give us at least a dozen things where they made very evident improvements to the law after they communicated with us. Some people would not talk to them. It's not our fault that the people who would not talk to them did not get heard. We did talk, and then I think Lauren Vasquez here working with the campaign also speaks really highly for it because just as Mickey and I have our 30 years experience, Lauren, you go back quite a long ways too, and she's actually working directly with the campaign, whereas Mickey and I just have a support grant.
Oh, I'm lucky enough to work with Mickey Norris and Chris Conrad doing all of this outreach, just trying to spread the word and, just correct some of the misinformation. Because this is an initiative that's going to do good things. It's going to set up an industry that's much more effective and efficient than Colorado or Washington or any of those other states. And we're the largest state in the nation. We have to lead, and we have the largest prison industrial complex of any state. So this is a major step in the right direction. And for those of us who've been doing this work for so long, we know it's not the end. It isn't even the beginning of the end. We've got a lot of work to do. But this is a really big step, and it's really important that we make this pass on Election Day.
And it's hurtful when people spread lies about us and when they're trolling us and trying to harm our reputation and calling us names. But nonetheless, we've been fighting against the federal government. The drug war is based on lies. That's what's exactly going down right now. There are people telling lies about us, telling lies about the initiative, telling lies about what the political reality is. This is the way the prohibitionists win. And this is just no accident that law enforcement is throwing its money very hard into stopping Alma and also people who have a financial interest in the current gray market are also seeming to be very entrenched in it. I think it's unfortunate that there's a middle group of people who have sincere concerns and that they're able to stir up some dissatisfaction, which was in fact going to be the best marijuana legalization law in the country once we pass it this November. Everything we dreamed about we can attain, but first we have to legalize marijuana, and that is the bottom line.
There's a portion of ALMA, if I'm not mistaken, that gives the legislature some ability to be able to tweak it after it's passed, unlike typical initiatives. Is that true?
Yes, and in fact, there's money from the tax revenue that's going to be designated for universities to study the implementation of ALMA and offer recommendations on how it can be more effective in order to be a more reasonable regulation in terms of the tax structure, if that's working or not, if the illicit market is still being maintained under ALMA, how can we tweak it to make it more fair and open so that we don't need an illicit market anymore.
What about the issue of cannabis and driving? I know Washington State has a nanogram limit and Colorado put one up, but then Oregon and Alaska didn't follow that. I don't think ALMA's got anything like that, but is there a study for cannabis and driving?
Well, right now there's an attempt to get a bill through the legislature that your California listeners need to know about, where they're trying to install a per se limit before ALMA goes into effect in order to do what ALMA does not do. ALMA does not allow for a per se limit. It calls for research and then a uniform way of detecting impaired driving involving marijuana or any other cause for impairment, such as, say, cell phones. And so that's what's going on with a uniform policy of how to treat impairment, not a chemical assay. But so I think the legislature is trying to get that in there first. So people should really, we should be trying to fight with stuff at the legislative level right now, not ALMA.
All right. Well, we've got to wind up this segment. Let me give you each a chance for some final words and give them, you know, whatever contact info or websites they also need to know, and maybe also how to register to vote.
Ooh, you can register to vote online in California. You can go to the Secretary of State's website. I'm sure you can just Google register to vote California. I believe you have until Monday to get that in. Yes, May 23rd. The last day to register to vote, at least for the primary here in California. So get on that. And please check out our website, letsgetitrightca.org, and follow us online at the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. And Mickey North and Chris Conrad have the lease online, the website for that.
Well, yeah, I'll let Mickey do the final comment. But what I would say is that this new book has come out called The Newbie's Guide to Cannabis and the Industry. It's a great eye-opener for everybody about the potential that lies in the future world of cannabis as a legal and free substance and as a regulated industry, et cetera. But in order for that to happen, it's very important that people pass an initiative to make it legal. Why should the states of Colorado and Washington and Oregon and Alaska have all these advantages? Well, California is the state that basically started this whole thing in 72 with our initiative to try to get them out. We came the closest until Colorado actually did it. You know, we've got this great record, the best growers, if you don't mind my saying so, the biggest market, all the greatest opportunities. It's pretty open. And so we have to pay, once we pass this initiative, even before then, you should get this book and read it.
The Newbie's Guide.
And I'd just like to add, it's time for cannabis consumers to come out of the closet, to stand up for our equal rights, to vote for the Adult Use of Marijuana Act in November, because that is going to open up our legal standing. Giving us legal standing is going to change our status in society. This level of social acceptance is going to be a new thing, a new freedom, a new burden lifted off of our shoulders of prohibition that we've been carrying around our whole lives, because it's been going on in California for 103 years already. It's time to stop prohibition of marijuana. We need to stop. This is going to help end the drug war in general. If we take marijuana out of the mix, it's going to stop shattering so many people's lives, and we need to do that. Now, in 2016, we can't wait any longer, and we shouldn't wait any longer. Legalize it this year in California.
Let's do it.
That's on ALMA.
That's right. It's letsgetitrightca.org online, at Let's Get It Right on Twitter. And you can follow our guests. Lauren Vasquez is at Fired Up Lawyer on Twitter. Mickey Norris is at Mickey Norris, M-I-K-K-I. Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S, and at Chris Conrad. At Chris Conrad. I think I got them all right.
ChrisConrad.com, ALMA, A-U-M-A, 2016.com has a lot of the information that we've been generating. If they want to see the penalty charts, if they want the initiative language, if they want to get some FAQs about the initiative and even see a PowerPoint that lays out the whole structure of the initiative. They can find that there at ALMA2016.com. And one more, which is legalizeda2016.com. That's a whole other level of social justice information put out by the Drug Policy Action.
All right. I think we've got it
all. Listen to the Russ Baldwin Show.
Yeah, keep listening here. We'll keep telling you all about the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, because prohibition or legalization always trumps prohibition. Even if you're legalizing just a gram, it makes a huge difference. Chris and Mickey and Lauren, thanks so much for this extended discussion. I think we debunked a whole lot of the misconceptions, and hopefully we swung some votes your way.
And anytime you got more misconceptions or want more information, just call us right back.
Will do. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're going to take you back to Washington, D.C., the protest in front of the White House for Weed for Warriors and Harry J. Anslinger's 142nd birthday. Kind of a weird thing to celebrate, I guess. But my speech is coming up next, and my talk with the folks at Russia Today. So stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show. Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, is here.
The single most important victory will be California.
We've got Steve D'Angelo.
Well, the state of cannabis affairs in California is in flux.
The guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal.
It's better for people to be using concentrates.
Weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
As it relates to my brother, there's one thing I know for sure. He kept us safe.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, everybody. It's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. Dyke. Just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 38 after the hour here in Washington, D.C. I'm staying at the Hotel Lombardi, which is perfect for a Packers fan. Earlier today, I was down in front of the White House where before today, there was a shooting. There was big news, big shooting in front of the White House. I don't know if it was a shooter shooting at the White House or someone got shot in front of the White House. I didn't get all the details, but Washington, D.C. kind of under a big security blanket, at least the area around the White House, shut down Pennsylvania Avenue and Lafayette Park. And police taped the whole thing, had cops there and dogs and automatic weapons and snipers on the roof. It was pretty tense. But the protest went on somewhat as planned. It was protest today for Harry Anslinger's 142nd birthday. And we're kind of commemorating that ignoble day by noting his legacy of prohibition needs to end. And we did so in front of the White House, calling on President Obama to deschedule marijuana. Bunch of great activists there. N.A. Poe, Chris Goldstein was there. and Adam Eidinger from the DCMJ. And after Dana Beale spoke, Adam motioned to me and asked if I'd like to speak. And, well, you know me, I never met a microphone I didn't like. So here it is.
Clinton or President Trump is about zero. And I know if we get Gary Johnson. You know,
wind up Dana Beale's speech here.
He's a libertarian. So anyway, I'm going to give this back. There are many, many more stories. Tomorrow night in New York City, I'm doing my history of marijuana and the movement to end the rise of the movement to end the drug war at the Left Forum at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. Now back to our previously scheduled master of ceremonies, Adam Eidinger.
Thank you, Dana. Came all the way from New York City to speak to you today. Thank you. Russ, you want to come up? You're closer to six. Okay. And other speakers, if you're planning on speaking today, come on up and hang out around this area, and we'll get you queued up.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Washington, D.C. My name is Radical Russ Belville. I'm with CannabisRadio.com. I'm here from beautiful, legal Portland, Oregon. 503 in the house. Good to hear it. So we legalized marijuana in Oregon. Not just the growing gear you got in Washington, D.C. We actually have stores. When I run out of weed, I go down to the weed store on 24th. And if I don't like the selection and prices there, I walk four blocks to the one on 28th. Or the one on 33rd, or the one on 42nd, or the one on 60th, or the one on an 88th, or the one on 102nd. And guess what? Even with all those dispensaries and all those legal pot smokers, the trains still run on time, people still go to work, kids still go to school, parents raise their kids. Nothing has changed, except one thing.
Tax revenue.
Tax revenue. My man's reading my mind. In the first month, we raised $5 million in tax revenue in Oregon. The state of Colorado has already raised $100 million in recreational taxes, $32 million in medical taxes just last year. $1.5 million of that tax money is going in Pueblo County, Colorado, to directly help the homeless. There's another campaign where it's gotten 25 $1,000 grants to disadvantaged Hispanic kids that want to go to college. Marijuana money is funding people's dreams now. I'm so proud of everyone here that's here to show up, to protest, to stand up for our rights, because America, this is our hemp heritage. Hemp was first planted in this country in 1611. Its medical uses were popularized by Dr. O'Shaughnessy in this country by the 1850s. By 1853, the New York Times was writing about the vogue of hashish parlors. By the 1900s, Louis Armstrong, Cab Calloway, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, they were all singing about the jive, the muggles, the reefer, the tea, otherwise known as marijuana. This is our heritage, and it's been stolen from us, beginning with the man whose birth date is today, Harry J. Anslinger. A man who was the commissioner of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics from 1937 to 1962, from FDR to JFK. A man who was a disgusting and shameless racist. I could go over the quotes, but I'm not going to. Look up Harry J. Anslinger racist. You'll find plenty of them. And that was the foundation. Oh, he's got some right there. That was the foundation of our drug war. That was continued under Richard Nixon. Most recently, in Harper's Magazine, it was revealed a quote from John Ehrlichman, one of Nixon's advisors, who said, basically, I paraphrase, so I don't have it memorized, we knew the war on drugs was BS, but we made it illegal because we wanted to infiltrate the Black Power movement and the hippie left movement, the anti-war movement. We knew we couldn't criminalize them for being long-haired or being black, but we could criminalize them for marijuana. And we could infiltrate their groups, we could break up their leadership, and we could destroy their movements. This has always been about control. Now, to the point of us being here at the White House. President Obama is one of us. He was a member of what was called the Choom Gang in high school in Hawaii. To choom means to smoke marijuana. In fact, of his group of tokers, President Obama was the king toker. He was the man. He used to do what was called TA, total absorption hits. When they were in the VW bus smoking weed and the smoke would collect at the roof, Obama would put his face to the roof and suck down the hit. That's how much of a stoner our current president is. So for this man to sit in the White House and ignore the deaths of veterans, to ignore the suffering of medical marijuana patients, to ignore the disproportionately young Black and Latino people whose lives are ruined on a daily basis to the tune of 700,000 a year is a disgrace. And when they tell me that, oh, we don't really care about the little guy, we go after the big kingpin. There's my friend right there, Chris Goldstein. He's one of the kingpins. Smoked a joint at the Liberty Bell, so he got 2 years of probation and a $3,000 fine from our federal government for protesting at the Liberty Bell. Freedom! And A. Paul also standing here, also a freedom fighter who stood up for our rights and got taken down by the man. And now today, here we are, openly smoking weed right in front of the White House. Thanks, guys. We're winning. Thanks to you. So, President Obama, one last word. You know this is not a drug that belongs on the same scale as heroin, LSD, and PCP. Neither does it belong in Schedule 2 with cocaine, methamphetamine, and OxyContin. Neither does it belong in Schedule 3 with Valium and Ambien and anabolic steroids. It doesn't belong on the schedule at all. D-schedule marijuana. And President Obama, don't give us this line we've heard from you for the past 8 years of, oh, well, gee, if Congress, you and I both know that's BS. The Controlled Substances Act of 1971 vests in the President and the Attorney General the authority on signature alone to instigate the rescheduling or descheduling of any drug on the Controlled Substances Act. Stop passing the buck, Mr. President. Help our vets, help our patients, free our people, free the weed!
Thank you, Russ.
Thanks, Russ. Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, man. Yeah, please. Let's go over that away. Here, take that.
Yeah, man.
Let me get your card, too.
Should be fine here. I missed this wonderful story you were just telling. Thank you. Cannabis Radio.
Yes.
Sounds exciting.
There you go. There's for the spelling. Russ Belleville. There you go.
That's your name.
Yeah, that's me.
Nice to meet you. I'm with the Rapley Video Agency.
Yes, yes.
So what are the advantages of legalizing marijuana?
The advantages of legalizing marijuana, number one, is that we begin to reap the tax revenues and bring a completely underground economy above ground. I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I do this for a living. I've traveled to all the legal states. In all of those states, unemployment is down, tax revenues are up, jobs are being created, and really nobody who wasn't smoking pot before is now smoking pot, except for one demographic, people over the age of 50. Surprisingly, it's not the teenagers, it's not the kids, it's the older baby boomers coming back to marijuana after all these years that is fueling a lot of this boom.
So you were saying that President Obama was smoking himself.
In President Obama's memoirs, a book called Dreams from My Father, he discusses his time as a teenager growing up in Hawaii, where he not only used marijuana, but also used cocaine. This is not telling tales out of school, he admits it in his book. And I was telling the tale of how during his high school years, he was in what was called the Choom Gang, C-H-O-O-M. To choom was a Hawaiian slang term for to smoke pot. And of the Choom Gang, he was the king choomer. He actually used to take what were called TA hits. That stands for total absorption. And what it meant was when all the tokers were in the VW van, hotboxing the van, he would put his face to the roof and suck the hits off the roof. That's how intense a marijuana consumer President Obama was.
So what's the problem now with legalizing it here?
The problem with legalizing it is there's a whole lot of money to be made in keeping it illegal. First of all, police. Police do not want this to change for a couple of reasons. Number one, marijuana is the key that unlocks the Fourth Amendment. When they have somebody they think's up to no good, if they don't have a probable cause to deal with that person, they can always claim they smell marijuana, and then they can begin the investigations and the searches that lead to the other crimes. The other reason is money. Police agencies all across the United States get federal grants specifically for fighting the drug war, and some of those are specifically earmarked for fighting marijuana. So, if you legalize marijuana, those grants dry up, as we've seen in Washington and Colorado already. There's also civil asset forfeiture. When cops catch someone with weed or a whole lot of money, they can take the money, take the car. Those pieces of property are guilty until proven innocent. The person has to prove they're not drug proceeds in order to get their stuff back. So there's a lot of profit in police agencies, private prisons that require the prisons to be full. They need more prisoners. Drug rehabs, drug testing agencies, big pharmaceutical companies that don't want to have to compete with a natural substance people can grow for themselves, the alcohol, liquor industry that don't want a competitive product. There's just a lot of money in keeping it illegal.
So it's a huge industry here, right? A lot of interest. So what's the way to push it through? Is there an option?
The option is to continue to resist these laws at the state and local level. America had alcohol prohibition from 1919 to 1933, and when it unraveled, it wasn't because the federal government made it legal. It's because states like New York and Washington decided to stop obeying that law. Similarly, with marijuana prohibition, Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska so far have decided to not obey this law. Coming in the 2016 election, we've got California, Arizona, Nevada, Massachusetts, Maine that may all legalize. As more and more states fall, and as the opinion polls continue to rise for legalization, the federal government will have no choice but to heed the will of the people.
What Oregon has that other states don't have to make it legal, why they succeed? What was the...
What usually happens is the states that have a greater concentration of cannabis consumers are the ones that are more likely to legalize. There's more natural support because people have skin in the game, so to speak. Partially also is the fact that the West Coast tends to be far more liberal on the political spectrum, so it's less of a social, moral issue than it is to, say, someone in Kentucky or Texas. So Oregon, Washington, California, those states were really quick to adopt these things.
Well, thank you so much. That was really interesting.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
More of my experience today, just less than an hour and a half ago in front of the White House, where the protesters are all gathered, probably still gathered in front of the White House. A die-in for Weed for Warriors is happening, and the protest to deschedule now also happening. We're going to take a break and get this studio cleaned up, because guess who's coming next live here on CannabisRadio.com? That's right, Stoner Jesus. Stoner Jesus coming up for your live Friday night entertainment, the greatest podcast ever created. We'll be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up!
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? get a new instrument, or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Just winding things up here before Stoner Jesus takes over. That comes up every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday live here at 8 p.m. Pacific. Or 8 p.m. Eastern, excuse me, 5 p.m. Pacific. What time zone am I in again? Oh, yeah. I'm in Eastern time. I tell you, sometimes the jet lag, folks, it'll do a number on you. You go from the East Coast to Alaska. It was weird, right? So East Coast and then to Alaska, where it's daylight 20 hours a day and sunny and bright. And then I go back to Portland and it's gray and rainy and dark. Then I come back out here to Washington and it's sunny again and 3 hours later. And I'm amazed I can even put a show on. But I want to thank you guys, especially you longtime regular listeners, for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. And it's been, you know, this past couple of months, 2-3 months have been really difficult for me. And having the show to do has taken my mind off of a lot of things, and it helps me to focus and to realize, you know, not get all trapped in my own, you know, miasma of whatever's going on here, and to recognize that this is important. What we're doing here is important. Talking to you guys every day and just to know that we're a community, and I know a lot of you listening to me are in places where you can only dream of smoking weed so openly. I was out in front of the freaking White House smoking a joint with at least 10, 11 cops with automatic weapons on them who could see us smoking these joints. Just openly, broad daylight, cars passing, tourists walking by, and clouds of marijuana smoke just coming up from H Street. And to think that, like, because I was a little worried, you know, because I flew here to Washington and I don't fly with weed anymore. Too high profile, too much stress, don't want to deal with it. But I didn't have any weed when I got here, and I'm like, could really use some weed. So I heard this protest was going down, and I thought, oh, could probably smoke some weed at this protest. And, of course, N.A. Poe, Chris Goldstein there, I got to smoke some weed down at the protest. Who'd have thought, in my wildest imagination 10 years ago when I was starting in marijuana reform, that someday my weed hookup would be in broad daylight in front of the White House in front of 10 armed cops. We are winning, folks. It's such a joy to be a part of this, and it's my pleasure and honor and privilege to be bringing you a little two-hour slice of it every day. For those of you living in Iowa and Georgia and all sorts of places, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and of course my friends in Idaho, I know how you're suffering. We'll be here for you next week. Until next time. Take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, cannabis nurse Heather.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
Good day, everybody. Radical Russ here in Aspen, Colorado at the Alaska Northwest Cannabis Classic, at the 26th annual Boston Freedom Rally, at the High Time.